Hey, welcome to the Labor Room Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Heather Kinezik. As a mama of three, a labor and delivery nurse, a birth educator, and a mama who's been there, my goal is to help you find your way to an empowered, confident birth and beyond. So get comfy, snuggle in with a nice cup of iced coffee or decaf, and hang out with me and other moms in the same stage of life as we talk about all the tea. Here, we will share real-life experiences, dive deep into important, fun, and sometimes hard topics, while always dishing out actionable step-by-step methods, tips and tricks, mom hacks, and golden nuggets that you'll be glad you heard here. From trying to conceive, pregnancy, birth, breastfeeding, and the baby stage, we're going to dig into all the nitty-gritty, the down and dirty, the real-life, no-sugarcoating good stuff that you've been looking for on your journey to and through motherhood. Because mama, labor doesn't end in the delivery room. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Labor Room Podcast, and happy Rapid Fire Friday. This is technically our third Rapid Fire Friday episode, but only our second, I guess I'll call it topic. The first time I did a Rapid Fire Friday, I largely underestimated how long it takes me to rapid fire answer a question. I will get better at it. I'm going to get better at it. But the first two episodes were basically one episode cut in half. So if you're new here, this is not our typical every week episode. Typically, I publish an episode on Thursdays that's narrowed in on one topic. But on Fridays, sometimes we do this fun little game where we do a rapid fire, me answer any questions that you guys have. And this week specifically, I put up a question box. Actually, just this past Wednesday, I put up the question box and I said, go for it. I'm going to answer only questions from this question box. And it could be anything and everything. So I guess that's where we're at. Currently, as I record this, it's Thursday night. It's 9 o'clock p.m. I just got home from work. I am a labor and delivery nurse, and I work 12-hour shifts. So I just took care of mamas all day, helping them with their brand new babies. And then I got home from work, and my mom was here, not only with my three kids, but also with my sister's two kids. And so I just kind of hung out with them for a while, and I was this close to just going straight to bed. And then I realized, wait a second, I promised my people a Rapid Fire Friday tomorrow. So that's where we're at. My kids are asleep. I just walked into their room a second ago. My oldest is the best sleeper on the planet, and he has been ever since he recovered from being the worst sleeper on the planet when he was about 6 months old. And ever since then, he's been a champ, best sleeper there ever was. My youngest has kind of always really steadily been a good sleeper, but she also like goes through her regressions now and then. If she's teething, she responds to that with negative sleep and stuff like that. But for the most part, she's good. And then Elliot, he right now is my problem child because of the Thriller debacle that I talked about in our last Rapid Fire Friday episode. If you don't know the Thriller debacle, I encourage you to go listen to it. But he has some trouble going to bed. But today, my mom did a great job. I got home and he was already asleep. Success. But we all know he's going to wake up at some point in the middle of the night to come sleep in my bed. So I got to get this thing done so I can have a little bit of me time before I have a four-year-old in my bed. This episode is brought to you by the Empowered Birth Academy, your go-to comprehensive course for everything labor, delivery, and those first precious moments with your newborn. Armed with expert advice, step-by-step guides, and insider tips, you'll walk into that delivery room empowered and confident. I get it. The anticipation, the questions, that deep desire to ensure the best possible birth experience for both you and your baby. You'll address all of it in the course. And if you've ever felt overwhelmed with all of the advice out there, this course will be your roadmap, clearing the clutter and focusing on what truly matters. If there's a little voice telling you there's gotta be a better way to prepare, then listen to it. Don't leave one of the most important moments to chance. Let's make your birth journey one where you feel truly supported, informed, and above all, empowered. Enroll today with $50 off using the code THELABORROOM at checkout. Just head to alifeinlabor.com/EBA to sign up. Trust me, mama, you've got this. I'm going to, I guess, just answer as many questions that I can from the question box that I posted on Wednesday and see how many we can get through and then go from there. So the first question that I got here is leaking nipples at 26 weeks. So technically there's no question there, but I am assuming that this mama wants to know if it's normal and what to do about it. First of all, leaking nipples during pregnancy is totally normal, especially if it's colostrum. Your body starts making colostrum, or rather starts preparing to breastfeed in the second trimester, which is where 26 weeks lies, but really it starts as early as like 16 weeks pregnant, that your body starts to make changes to the breast and starts to form baby's first milk. And so if it starts to leak, especially in certain situations, like when you're in the shower, or if you like try to manually express breast milk, that happens. It's totally normal. But I want you to also know that it's normal if that doesn't happen too. I think more often than not, moms are worried when they are not getting anything from their breast during pregnancy and they're not leaking colostrum because they're worried that means that they're not making any. And that's just completely false. You can leak for the entire second half of your pregnancy, or you cannot leak at all, and both of those situations will likely end up in the same positive breastfeeding experience. So whether you leak or don't leak, you're good to go. I wouldn't try to express it. I wouldn't try to necessarily collect it at 26 weeks. I would just let it be. Just let your body do its thing. You can wear breast pads if you want to, if it's really leaking that much. Otherwise, I would just leave your nipples alone. You can start collecting colostrum slowly at around 36 weeks if you want, or earlier if you talk to your midwife or OBGYN and they clear it. Sometimes you just have to be really careful collecting colostrum because nipple stimulation in the third trimester can cause some contractions. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so the second question I have here is, what is the best piece of advice for a planned C-section? I love this question, but I feel like I could just blurt out a million different things because I feel like on one hand, mamas having a planned C-section may feel nervous or scared or maybe even disappointed if this is not something that they necessarily wanted originally and it's something that they just have to do because of circumstance. But also it can be such a blessing in a lot of ways because you get to plan your baby's birth and you get to prepare ahead of time and you get to know exactly what the trajectory of your birth will be. I think that although things can, of course, come up as they can in any situation, what's nice is that you don't have this looming fear of like, what if I have a C-section? Or what if I don't tolerate labor? What if my baby doesn't tolerate labor? What if something bad happens? For the most part, you know, 90% of those fears get to be pushed to the side. And so although C-sections are always nerve-wracking for moms and families, they're not all bad, and you can really have a really incredible experience. So although I have a million pieces of advice for C-section mamas, I think what I'm going to say is to continue to make a birth plan, and it doesn't have to be something that you give to anybody. It could literally just be for you and your partner, okay? So it doesn't have to be what you think a birth plan is, but continue to make one and list out things, even if they're tiny things, that can make your birth special and memorable. So for example, you can create a playlist. I think that's a really, really awesome thing that C-section mamas get to do ahead of time. And your anesthesia provider, who will be your best friend in the OR, will be the person that's like standing at your head where you are, where your partner is, during your entire procedure, and they will be able to play that playlist for you in the OR. And so your baby can be born to whatever song that you have a preference towards. And I think that's really special and amazing. Also, you can bring essential oils in certain ways, and I'll tell you those in a second, to keep yourself feeling relaxed and in a safe environment, even though you're in this really sterile operating room that feels very medical. If you bring in like a little bit of lavender drops on a cotton ball and hold that cotton ball in your pocket, or have your partner hold it in their pocket and bring it out once you're relaxed on the table, it can bring this like really special, relaxed, calming vibe to the operating room, when usually the operating room just feels very, like I said, medical. And there are smells. I mean, there's always smells to every type of birth that you have. And so having a little bit of lavender on a cotton ball near your face can do wonders for you. Other options that you can have on this birth plan is who is going to announce the sex of the baby. Even if you already know the sex of your baby through ultrasound, through blood test, through whatever, during any birth, the nurse typically calls out, like, is it a boy or is it a girl or what do we have? Something like that. And it's mainly for her charting. And so even during a vaginal birth, during a C-section, the nurse typically needs somebody to call that out. And oftentimes in a C-section, because there's a drape up in between the sterile field and you, the nurse will call out, what do we have? And the doctor who pulled out baby and is stimulating baby will say, yep, we still have a boy, if that's what you were expecting, if you know what I mean. So whether you know the sex or not, you can have it on your birth plan that you want your partner to call out the sex of the baby. So in this case, just talk to your doctor about lowering the drape right at the time of birth and not saying anything about baby's sex and allowing dad to do it. So what they do is they hold the baby up, they lower that drape down, dad gets a look and says, it's a boy. And then you guys have this moment, and it's just always so, so special when that happens. Other things can be specific photos that you want taken. I think a photo that a lot of people miss or forget about during a planned C-section is the moments before, while you're still pregnant. I think that those moments are really special and they mean a lot to parents, and they just don't realize how fast those moments fly by when you have a scheduled C-section. So you can like make a list of special moments that you want captured between you and your partner, or even you and your team, before the delivery happens, in the pre-op area when you guys are all gowned up together but you still have a big belly, as you walk back to the operating room with your nurse, a picture of you and your spouse waiting for baby, and obviously a photo of the three of you in the operating room when you finally get to hold your baby. All of those photos are priceless, but it can be such a whirlwind going through surgery, and it's often forgotten. So those are some things that you can add to your birth plan. There are obviously other things, but I think that that's what I would say if I were to just give one piece of C-section advice for mamas scheduling it, to take advantage of being able to schedule it. Take advantage of knowing what the plan is. You know, there's so much less risk in your birth plan going out the window because it's scheduled and it's very controlled. So take advantage of that privilege that you get to plan your baby's birth a little bit more, even if it's not necessarily what you wanted or expected when you first found out you were pregnant. Okay, so the next question that I have is how to be okay having your last baby. Girl, how long have you been here? Because I am not the person to ask. I have no idea. I got married to my husband and we always said that we were going to have 3 or 4 kiddos. That was our number. 3 or 4. We'll have 3 or 4. We'll see how it goes. 3 or 4. What I didn't realize was that 3 or 4 is not a number. And once we had 3, then it's just this weird limbo where we're like, okay, well, is it 3 or is it 4? Like, I don't know. I still do not know whether our number is 3 or 4. And I think I've set myself up because now it's just this mystery whether we're done or not, because we had this number that's not a number. And now that we've met half of that number, we do not know if we're satisfied with 3 or if 4 is meant for us. It's so impossible to know. And to be honest, my husband is leaning more towards being done at 3. And he has said, you know, he would be fully fulfilled and happy and completely content with the 3 kids that we have. And so he has no longing necessarily to have that 4th baby. For me, I feel like, how the heck do you stop though? Like, how do you just accept that I'm never going to be pregnant again? I'm never going to give birth again. I'm never going to have that newborn scrunch again. I just can't. I just cannot. I have no idea how people become okay with having your last baby. I'm not there yet. Maybe I'll get there. And I'm not even saying that I necessarily know that I want 4. I don't know that. I am content with my 3 babies, with my 3 kiddos. I feel really good about the way our family feels right now. I feel very fulfilled with my family as it is right now. But that doesn't mean that I know we're done. Like, that doesn't mean that I feel like, yep, this is it. Like, I'm totally okay never being pregnant again. Nope, not there. So I don't know. But I think what I'm thinking and what I'm hoping is that just in time, whether it be a year, whether it be 2 years, whatever, that feeling will just come. Like, I hope and pray that I don't have to make a definitive decision before I'm ready. Like, I hope that I don't have to have the conversation with my husband, like, you know what, I still don't know, but I guess we're done. Or like, gosh, you know, should we have another one? I don't know, maybe. Okay, I guess let's just go for it. Like, I hope that I don't ever end up there. I hope that one day I feel like I look at my family, I'm like, this makes sense. It makes sense to have another baby. Let's do it. Or it makes sense to be done. This is absolutely perfect and all my dreams have come true and this is it. Like, I hope that it just comes and it just feels right when it's right, if you know what I mean. So good luck. I hope that you get that content feeling whenever it is that you've acquired all the babies that you're meant to have. Okay, our next question is vasectomy versus tubes tied, pros and cons. I do not have a pros and cons list, but I can tell you my personal opinion on the matter, which is vasectomy all the way. There are less risks, less side effects, less complications, less long-term outcomes, less everything to a vasectomy than to a woman getting her tubes tied. If you want to get your tubes tied and that's your jam and you've already decided that's what you want, I support you. But if you're juggling your options and thinking, gosh, I don't know which is better, 100% get your man to get a vasectomy. The procedure is easier. The recovery is easier. They don't even have to be admitted to the hospital. They don't even have to be under general anesthesia. It is such a simple procedure and simple recovery. And it can be much easier reversed if you guys both change your mind and you decide, oh, you know what? I do end up wanting another baby after all. Not that every single time they can reverse it, but it is more possible to reverse a vasectomy than it is to untie your tubes. Plus, mom goes through everything. Mom is responsible for everything always. Mom's the one that's been on birth control, if ever in her life. It was always mom, right? It was mom that had to carry the baby for 9 months, and it was mom that had to give birth. And you know what? It's also mom that has to go through breastfeeding and weaning and all of the stuff that comes along with that. So dad can have a 30-minute procedure to make life a little bit easier from here on out if you don't want more babies. Okay? That's my opinion. All right. Next is advice for 1 to 2 kids transition. Fun fact, this is actually one of the most popular questions that I got asked when I went through all of my question box questions of 2023. So I took so long, I took my time, and I went through all of the questions that I received in 2023 in my question boxes, and I organized them and I put them into categories. And this was one of the most frequently asked questions as well. Obviously, the last two Rapid Fire Fridays that I did was a list of my most popular questions, but this one didn't quite make that list, but it was up there. It was really, really up there. This is a huge thing that I think that so many of us dwell on because it's hard to wrap your mind around it. It's hard to wrap your mind around loving something the same as something that you've never loved more in your entire life. Like, you've never loved anything in the whole world more than that first baby. That first baby comes and you are obsessed. Your whole world revolves around this child. And then to think that another baby is coming, it feels like it is impossible that this new baby will ever measure up. But I pinky promise they do. Your heart grows, your love grows. You will love that baby the same as you love your first, maybe in a different way. Like, our love doesn't feel exactly the same for every baby, but the weight of the love is exactly the same. You will be head over heels obsessed with that baby, and your older child will love them too. Will they adapt and adjust to having a sibling immediately? Maybe not. Maybe it will be hard for a period of time. Maybe there will be adjusting period, but those two will be besties. They will love each other. I promise. It takes time sometimes. So I guess the advice that I have is to give yourself grace during this transition period, because you're adjusting to having two babies. You're adjusting to not being able to give the full attention that you want to give to your first baby, and you're watching your first baby adjust and feel uncomfortable in this new normal, and it hurts. It hurts your little mama heart, and it hurts your mama heart to watch somebody else do bedtime with that first baby, or maybe it hurts to watch somebody else take your first baby to the park to give you some time with that second baby, and you feel guilty that, oh my gosh, now I'm, you know, separating myself from that first child, and I need time away from that first child in order to give this second child attention. And it just feels like so much guilt on you during that transitional period, but it's short. That period of time is short, and you find your new groove, you find your new normal, you find a way to get bedtime done with both babies, and you find a way to give your first all the attention that they need and deserve while also caring for a newborn. You will get the hang of it. It's just hard in the beginning. I think what helped me the most is figuring out a routine that kept us all sane. I'm just so all about routines. I really am. Like, it doesn't have to be a schedule. It doesn't have to be strict or rigid or based on the clock, but just like a simple routine that forms habit in your household so everyone knows what's happening next, so that it's not a surprise when you tell your older child, like, well, actually, it's bedtime right now for baby. Let me go put baby down for a nap, when he was just about to ask you to come do a puzzle with him. You know, like, if you can create a vibe in your house where everyone kind of feels what's happening next, what comes next, I feel like it makes things a lot easier. One more though, one more piece of advice for this mama, because I think it's helped me so, so much. It's to not blame the baby for something that you can't do for or with the older child. For example, mommy, will you make me a snack? I'm hungry. Instead of saying, well, I can't right now, honey. I'm feeding the baby. I'll do it after. Say something like, yes, absolutely. Mommy's hungry too. I'll make a snack after I'm finished with what I'm doing. And you might even want to give a time period if a time period works for the age of your child. Like, I'll be done in 10 minutes. But the difference is you didn't say, like, I'm feeding baby right now, or brother's hungry right now, or sister needs this right now, because then it feels like you're choosing their needs over that older child's needs, and that can be hard. And so, yeah, I felt like I took that advice pretty well when I had my second, because it makes so much sense. It really does. It makes so much sense to just give whatever excuse you're giving without making it about the baby. Even if you're actively giving the baby a bath, right? And your toddler runs up to you and is like, mommy, mommy, come look at the puzzle that I just made. Instead of saying, well, I can't right now because I'm giving baby a bath, say, you made a puzzle? That is so exciting. I can't wait to see it. My hands are all wet right now, but I'm almost done, and I'll be there to see your puzzle in 10 minutes. You know, it's about my wet hands. It's not about baby needing something more than you. It's just, I'm doing this right now, and I can't wait to meet your needs. You just have to give me some time. So yeah, just try to reword your excuses to remove baby from it and insert positivity and validation that your older child probably definitely needs. All right, guys, to keep this rapid fire, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up today's episode. It was a fun one. I'm excited to continue on with these Rapid Fire Fridays. If you have suggestions on topics, or if you want to submit a question, just hit me up in the DMs on Instagram at A Life in Labor. I'll see you next week. And that wraps up another episode of the Labor Room Podcast. If you're currently expecting, I would love for you to get your hands on my free Enjoy Your Birth ebook. 3 Steps to a Positive Birth Experience, a guide for every pregnant mama. You can snag this download for free at alifeinlabor.com/enjoyyourbirth, all one word. I will leave that link in the show notes for you as well. All right, guys, that's it for today. Don't forget to leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode. You don't know how much I appreciate each note that I get to read from you guys. See you all here next week.
The information you're providing is so powerful and so helpful to have an empowered and beautiful birth.
I was so fearful of giving birth. I had only heard horror stories, so I really liked following your account because you really made me feel empowered, and that I could have a really positive experience and confident, and just knowing that this is what I was meant to do.
It has given me confidence to be my biggest advocate in the delivery room.
How easy it is to actually be empowered during our pregnancies and our labor and delivery stories. And it helped me feel confident in my most recent pregnancy.
Seeing you go from 2 boys to now a family of 3 kiddos, 2 boys and a girl, has sort of given me or inspired me, given me some motivation to get my family ready to possibly try for a 3rd baby.
And I don't think I would have had the birth experience I had without all of her advice and her help and her tips.
You helped me so much through my pregnancy and birth, and I look forward to future ones because of you.
A Life in Labor is so relatable, and every mom can get something out of it.
Thank you, Heather, for posting relatable motherhood content in a positive and encouraging way. and knowing that I am not alone on this crazy journey called motherhood.